The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
When the mic comes up, so I didn't go anywhere on you, okay? So I just want to let you know. Let me just get that thing up. Do you got to do anything before we get started?
Nope, I'm all good.
Okay, brother. Okay. Here we go, and welcome to the show right now. Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 7th. Of March, if you can believe that. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks, one to make you think, obviously the other one to make you take action, and that is the most important thing here. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We've got close to 700 podcasts already in the vault. I don't know who's got more extensive ones. You know, I know there's people that have shows that have been on longer than us, but I was burning 9 to 15 a week up to 2017, and we're still doing quite a few, but there are business considerations right now that have to take precedent over everything, and if we don't have the money, we don't survive. We don't do a podcast anymore, and it's big bucks to run this thing every month. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're up to. You know my feeling about bringing new people in here, and we're going to have Jake Reynolds on here in a moment, but I do this a lot because I love this passage, and I'm going to read it quickly, and it's out of the book of Stones and Strength by Steve Jeck and the late Peter Martin, and if you listen to the show, you know what I'm going to probably read, and it's chapter 33. I'm going to read the ending of Sons of Sisyphus on page 107. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, the struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. I'm going to read that last sentence because it's so important. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Now look, I tell everybody, I read a passage out of that book every morning and every night before I go to bed. You should memorize that book. That's just my opinion, but the struggle is really where it's at. Like I said, we got Jake Reynolds on here, and we're going to introduce him to the family, and we welcome him to the family. Jake's a strong man, and he is a strong man competitor, and this guy can put some stuff overhead, and when I saw him, I didn't know that he was affiliated with our good friend Andrew Derniat, but he trains there. And very impressive stuff. Dumbbells, overhead, quite a front squat or two. And I said, I'm going to reach out to Jake. And we did, and we got crossed up a few times, but he's with us now. And Jake, I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, Eric.
It's my pleasure. Anything I missed, I know you said you do social work, but anything, you got any meets coming up, anything on your mind, and we're going to just get started, and we're going to introduce you to the family now that you're part of the family, sir.
You didn't miss too much. As for meets, I've got a contest at the end of April coming up in Charlotte.
Okay.
It's a huge Platinum Plus Pro Card contest. I think I've got 40-some guys in my weight class. It's kind of in the air right now because I've been battling a few injuries lately, but it's on the up and up right now. So, you know, as you said, struggle.
Yeah.
Every day is a struggle with strongman. Like, you don't know, you know, how you're going to feel when you wake up. So,
yeah, I was doing some pretty nasty stuff yesterday. We built this piece that goes the width of the power rack where you can press dead stop out of there. And, basically how it hooks up is, The long rods, obviously, in your rack go through these big tubular pieces that are welded all through this holder, basically. And you stand up, obviously, and you can do pulls with it, whatever. But I love the presses overhead, dead stop. And, you stick your hand up between the surface there where it's opened up, grab your dumbbell and press it. I did yesterday. I mean, it was a beautiful lift too. I took it from, I had the rack at about forehead height, middle of the forehead, and I took a 2-inch dumbbell and I crushed a 139.5 for multiple singles. And I hadn't done that in quite a while as far as using that rack, and that's something I'm going to be concentrating on more and more, especially with stones. I'm doing a lot of different things right now. So my deltoids hurt right now. And, hey, you know what? That's the beauty of, like we say, the struggle. I'm going to, you know, a lot of people only do lockouts with things like that. I want to see what I can move in a safe way from areas like that. I won't let my arm sink underneath my shoulder, obviously, especially when you're breaking something that big off. Plus, you're also contending with the width of the handle. So it's beautiful stuff, man. You know, it's just fun. Well, this is the first question I ask everybody, and it's a very interesting question. We like to talk about what got you into weightlifting, and we'll just leave it at that. Obviously, I always say it was my brother Jimmy who died of muscular dystrophy in the Incredible Hulk. That's what drove me at 10 years old of age to start getting into things, and gradually, and now we've grown to all kinds of stuff. So what initially you felt got you into what we love to do, and that's weightlifting?
I gained some weight after college, and I actually went to Durniat's gym without realizing it was such a strength mecca, right?
Yeah.
This is when he was in a little tiny place.
Yep.
And I was just a quiet little guy, or bigger guy at the time. I lost some weight, but I was this little quiet guy sitting in the corner squatting. I just squatted all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better, but I'd start squatting, and I'm built for it, and I started to love it. I'm like, all right, this is like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. And I just fell in love with squatting. And then I'm a very competitive guy.
Yep.
Always been very competitive. And one day, one of Durniat's friends was in there, and he grabbed a sandbag that was next to the squat rack.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, man, you want to come out and carry this with me? And I'm like, this is 5 years ago. I'm like, hey, why the hell not?
Yep.
Sure, let's go do it.
Yeah.
Picked it up and ran with it, and someone's like, hey, you seem kind of good at this.
Yep.
And the rest was history, man. Yep. I just started competing all over the place, and I fell in love with it, and I, you know, Durniat's the guy to thank for that.
Oh yeah, he's a great guy, man.
He's definitely done a lot for me, and he's been just he's a great role model too.
Yeah,
like you just look, he's like the definition of a good hard worker. Like,
yeah, yep. Well, so. and you and I both know this is something in today's world that is really been diminished. And to me, it's really hurt a lot of people, especially the younger kids now, you know, and I'll make the point. I'll circle the wagon right here. It's like this with all the convenience. I mean, look at you and I are miles away, and you know, it's great to have a computer and Skype and all these things, but it's a double-edged sword that's hurt people in a lot of ways because now there's not an urgency, I don't think, in a lot of sectors of the world to be strong because, you know, you're not really going out and being tested by much anymore. The conveniences of whether it's technology or just the idea is, hey, I don't really even have to get off the couch anymore. Everything can be ordered now, delivered. I don't have to work. I don't have to, here's the word again, struggle for a lot of things. Now, yep. I'm not saying this is everybody because you and I and Andrew and many people are the exception, obviously. But why is it we're seeing rises in diabetes all over the world now like we've never seen before? You know, 10-year-olds taking shots and stuff. Why is it everybody's got to get a trophy now? Why is it you can't get hard on people because, you know, you're killing their self-esteem? So I guess the question I pose to you, Jake, is this. Obviously, from the onset, you kind of had a direction, whether you knew it or not. You went to Andrew's gym. You started squatting. You know, you saw some things. You got involved. People noticed that you had an aptitude and the skill and the strength to do it. Why? Tell me. I mean, you could have went the other path, but what do you feel that was in you that drove you to start off the way you did?
You know, I'm not really sure about that, but a lot of people have always said I'm a lot like a bulldog.
Yep.
I'm just one of those people that once I get going on something, I go 100%.
Yep.
There's no screwing around with it, right?
Yep.
And I don't know, man. Like, there's no explanation. It just became such a routine, and I just kept lifting, and it just, you know, just sprouted into something awesome.
Yeah, and you know what that is, too? That we get into this a lot. You know, DNA, it's in you from the time you come into the world. We've had some serious discussions about this. I've had this on and off air with people. And one thing I feel, especially in my case, and I talk about this a lot now because people are like, you know, I never thought of things that way, is sometimes there's things that happen in your life that when it's laying there dormant, and every man, we're going to just stick with men here today, because I think men are in a big struggle with a lot of identity and things of that nature. You know, I've talked about Jimmy and the Hulk, and when you're a kid, you're afraid of things like that. I used to ask my parents, you know, can I get muscular dystrophy? No, you can't. Your brother was born with it. But at 10 years old, you're still wondering what's going on. And as I always say, when I went to that little store and I saw the comic book of the Incredible Hulk, that did it for me. And whatever that was, and that's why I say there's something lying in most of us dormant, it set that off. That's what set off the kid going to his aunt's house and getting a leaky sand weight set with a wooden bench. That's what fired that mechanism off of me. Wanting to be strong enough, you know, 13 feet tall, 2,000 pounds, indestructible. And that's what got me over the hump with my brother, okay? So this is why even the guys that are sitting on the couch eating bags of potato chips and texting all night have that in them. The problem is, I see, is we live in a culture now where it's not brought out. It's not encouraged, all right? So go ahead, take it. Comment on any of that.
I actually just thought about something that my childhood, actually.
Yep.
My mom passed away at a very young age, and my dad worked very, very hard, and I saw his work ethic.
Sure.
And on the weekends, I'd go out to my cousin's house, and he was a D1 wrestler.
Okay.
If that says anything.
That says a lot. Yep. Yep.
And he was maybe 4 or 5 years older than me, and I used to wrestle also, and I would go down and I would just wrestle around with him. He had a torn ACL at the time.
Yep.
I think he tore the same one 3 times or something crazy.
Yep.
And I would go down and wrestle with him. He was much bigger than me, obviously, but I used to see him lift weights.
Yep.
And I used to see him put in the work that he needed to put in. I was just a little guy. I was a senior in high school. I think I was 160 pounds.
Yeah, like yeah, that. Yep.
I was just a little guy.
Yep.
And I filled out later on, but I think I had something deep down that I was always competitive and I wanted to be better than him.
Yeah.
And which at the time was physically impossible in the sense of he was, you know, 210 or something when he was a senior in high school. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Of muscle too.
Yeah.
So I saw that and I saw the work ethic involved and everything like that. And I was like, man, I've always looked up to him and I still do.
Yeah. Yep.
He's just a very smart, strong guy. He still is.
Yep.
And that got me into the lifting. I saw him lift and I was like, man, I really want to, I want to do this at some point. And then Dirty Edge Gym became that avenue that I could do that.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what it is? Like I said, you might not notice it at first. You admire people, family, but it's just suddenly it takes over on you. And anybody that's, you know, this is why I encourage the hell out of this on the shows, especially with the younger people. I mean, I've got people 80 years old that listen to this show, and they don't do strongman, and they're not out, you know, squatting 500 pounds. But what they do is they're still physically active, whether it's walking or not, and this is what I get from them. We don't do the stuff, obviously, you guys are doing, but when you folks talk, you inspire us like crazy. And we've got this in our ear when we're just walking. Now, look, that's what I said to Jake before we even came on. You know, and I say this all the time on the shows. I don't care if you lift a 100-pound stone or a 450. See, I think where the world's going wrong, especially in strength, and I've heard other shows, they only care about, well, I can't say everybody because I've never heard everybody, but it's just elite, elite, elite. I got news for you. I've met people, I've trained with people that are pretty big people and strong as hell, and they are smart, man. I mean, smart, smart. And these are the guys that are going to be around, like I always say, I want to squat 250 at 100 years old and drop dead right then. That's it. That's my goal, all right? I have that type of longevity in both sides of my family. But I just think, Jake, that there's too many people that get bypassed because they're not lifting huge things, or maybe they're not a 300-pounder. You know, I've seen guys that are 180 pounds that have put a whooping on 250-pounders, and if it's not in the gym, they can take their head off in the street, all right? So, yeah. You know, you have to be very cognizant of those things, but the point of my of what I'm trying to get at here is this. Don't ever discount anybody because, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you're gonna shortchange some stuff that, you know, you can make lifelong friends like that. They're still strong, but they've got the intelligence. You know, I don't even use the word coaching anymore. I use the word educator here. These are people that could take somebody that has nothing or has failed miserably over and over. They can bring them right out of the heap, out of the pile, man. That's what I love about all this, because you don't see the unsung get represented a lot, and we love bringing that forward. So comment on any of that, please.
I mean, you touched on it pretty well there. But, yeah, I mean, there's tons of people out there that I've seen while I've been training. You know, yep. I was a pretty weak guy, and it took me years and years and years of consistent smart lifting to get where I'm at.
Yep.
And I don't even now, I don't consider myself elite, even though I've got probably one of the top overhead presses in the world for my weight class.
Sure.
Cool. I don't go around touting that, like, oh, I'm the best. Yep. No, not at all.
Yep.
Because you never, ever discount anyone. And actually, I can touch on the Arnold this past weekend.
Sure.
I went down and I watched my buddy Josh Reynolds train.
Yep.
And he is a guy that gets very little recognition, surprisingly.
Yep.
And I don't know if you ever watched videos of me training out there with those guys.
I've seen you.
Schmidt.
Yep.
Good Lord.
Yep.
Those two guys are two guys that, I mean, they're known now.
Yeah.
But for a while there, they were kind of the guys that everyone was just kind of,
yeah,
they were easy to look over because they don't sit there and make videos every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, look at this elite lift I just did, or whatever.
Yep.
And Josh goes out there and he took a shot at the 312 dumbbell and almost hit it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a guy that no one even knew about.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, he's just one of the strongest unheard of dudes out there.
But isn't that nice? It's like the dark horse that everybody's shaking.
Yeah.
They're shaking their heads. Where the hell did this guy come from? You know?
I mean, he's been around, but, like, he's been under the radar for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now he's just.
Yep. Whew. That's awesome, man. We'll have to see if we can talk to him one of these days. This is what I want to talk to you about, obviously, a number of things. But obviously, your prowess for overhead. We've seen you use some massive dumbbells, obviously, the circus style, obviously, the log and all that. Tell me how you got interested, or were you always a fan of overhead?
You know what? Funny thing is, I used to be – my first contest I ever did, I got whooped in overhead. I got last place. It was a 210 log for reps, and I was in the 200 class. I'll never forget it because that's what fueled me. I got beat by the guy who just got second at Worlds, and the year before he won Worlds. Richie Stout, he's a monster.
Yep.
He beat me by like 5 reps or something, and I remember the way I felt, and I was like, I hate overhead. And then I went down and trained with some big boys at Team Boss in Columbus.
Yeah.
Like Rick Freetog and some other guys, Zach Gallman. I don't know if you know those.
I know the names. I know the names.
They're you know, strength guys. I went down there and they taught me. They were like, "Hey man, you got short arms. Let's try to do a push jerk." I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And I started working on that, and it's just weird, man. Like something clicked, and I've always been a very explosive guy.
Yeah.
And my overhead shot up, but I also trained overhead 3-4 times a week.
Wow.
Whenever I got some crap from some people, they're like, "Man, you're doing it too often," or you know, "Oh, you're gonna hurt something," or blah blah. Like.
Yep.
There's something of, like, this is what's lost in a lot of the younger athletes these days, or especially in strongman, the newer people.
Yeah.
They look at me and they're like, "Man, you're overhead. I'm so jealous of your overhead press." I'm like, "Are you?" I'm like, and they'll ask me for programming or whatever. And I don't really write programming, but I'll tell them what I do. I'll send them what my workout was that day for overhead.
Yep.
And they go, "Man, that's a lot of volume." And I'm like, "I don't expect you to do that volume day one, but this took 4 years of training it 2 to 3 times a week for a couple hours at a time. And missing. And Durney, I can tell you, there were a couple days I'd go in there, and I would try the same weight 15 times, and I'd get it on the 16th.
Yep.
And I'd flip out.
Yep.
And people would be like, "Man, you're dumb. You keep missing. You're going to get hurt." And I didn't care, because at the end of the day, I wanted a big record, and I ended up getting it.
Yep.
And I just – that's all I wanted to do. And I became obsessive. When you become obsessive on something, you're going to be great at it.
You betcha. And you know, not to interrupt you, so hold your thought. When you said the younger guys, because I see them when they come over here, everything is specialization now.
Yep.
They don't want to get involved with anything else. And another thing that's going to kill anybody who wants to get great is when you're compromising and only doing the things that you're good at, and you're not working on your weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses. I don't care who you are. Guess what? You said injury. Then you're going to get an injury, man. And you could get a permanent injury where you're going to need surgery, or it's going to knock you out for a while. And all of us have had injuries. I've had tears, everything. That's a part of doing this stuff. That's the skill or the defeat or whatever you want to call it. And you have to come back and come back and come back and fail and win and win. That's the thing with everybody I see now. We all got to be a specialized guy or girl. And if we're not, not doing stuff like that, we don't want any part of it. And that makes me laugh when people say to you, you're going to get hurt. You're doing it too many days. You know, they'll use the word overtrained. Well, and I'll get right back with you in a moment, Jake, is this. Don't you think you got enough sense to kind of know when to let off the pedal a little bit? And see, this stuff is not there. I don't see. You know, Bill Hinburn and I just put up a great show before I called you. And we did Professor Louis Attila. And, you know, the physical culture in the way Bill and I got into that a little bit, it's not practiced a lot anymore. Like, people just equate physical culture with lifting weights. Physical culture was your whole lifestyle. And you never shied away from any of that stuff. And these guys were hitting stuff head on no matter what. That is what I see is lacking. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go on about the pressing, but comment on that too.
The specialization, I was actually going to touch on that next.
Okay, yeah.
You know, people would be like, oh, man, you're not doing any banded pressing. I haven't bench pressed. I bench press about once a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't work for me. It works for Steve Schmidt. It works for the guys who have more of a strict press. Cool. The specialization, though, like, people are like, you're doing log 3 times a week.
Yeah.
They're like, and you're going to do – are you going to do it heavy each time? Or are you going to do – you know, I would mix it up.
Yeah.
But, like, still, there were days I'd go in and – when I was first starting, I followed my program to a T, and that's what I needed to do. Did my 5-3-1-ish type stuff and juggernaut.
Yep.
It's just volume, volume, volume. And I did that sort of stuff for a while, and it worked well. But it got to a point where I was moving so much weight that I went off feel. Some days I would go in, and like in my head it was like, okay, we're gonna hit 5 singles at 85% on log today.
Yep.
Which I was then – it's like 355 for me.
Yep.
I'm like, all right. I would load the log up and 330 felt heavy. I'd do 355 for one and it felt like crap. I'm like, all right. And I would cut it there.
Yep.
And that's something I would not do in the past. And that's advice I'd give to someone now is that, you know, in the past I've sat there and, you know, gotten through it and stuff. But these days I'll cut it, come back in the next day, and then do it if I really wanted to really smash that workout.
Yep, yep.
But the specialization, man, like, I don't know. It almost makes me like – feel weird because so many people out there I see them doing their banded presses or overhead stuff, like, and they're like the people I just talked to, like, they were just like, hey man, how'd you get a good overhead? I literally gave them the recipe. Like, I handed them the recipe. Here you go, man. You do this for 2 years, I swear you will have a good overhead.
Yep.
You won't lose overhead events anymore if you do this.
Yep.
And the next week, oh, I read a thing about a powerlifter that did this, and I'm gonna try this for a while.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, you just asked a guy who came. I had a 180 log press, and I've missed 400 now, like, I don't know, 20 times now.
Yep.
But there's only two guys above 230 or around 230 that have hit over 400 before ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yep. You know what it is?
My advice.
Like, you know what it is? Yeah, I was just gonna say. You know what it is? It's the simplistic things that people just can't gravitate to. They've got to go by whatever the pro is or this, that. And I'll tell you another thing. I love when you say you walk out. Here, the egg timer is my best friend. And I'll tell you why. I'll set it for whatever time I'm going to make. I like to be out of here, well, in an hour or less, because we all know that testosterone, growth hormone, all starts to go the opposite direction when you're going too long. I got that. I think that was off a Sigmund Klein. I'm pretty sure it was an article I read by him. And what it does, I mean, initially it's going to be a little tough, but you're going to learn how to really move some weight without, you know, you see these guys. I remember when I used to be in a commercial gym. They'd do a set of squats. Of course, they had every piece of gear on them they could find. They'd have to be sniffing ammonia. They'd be smacking each other in the face. And then I'd watch them. They'd take 15 minutes between a lift. What the hell is that? What the hell is that, man? So
I've never understood that.
Never. And this is why you don't have to do it all the time. But an egg timer can really, really work the kinks out of everything with you. Now, I'm doing that with Dennis here. And I'm going to take him from 271 pounds, and he looked literally pregnant. It was all from the breastbone down. We've got him down to 245 now, and I've been incorporating a lot of egg timer. I've been training on some lifts like a fighter, and I haven't got him up to 3-minute rounds yet. I've got him just under 2 minutes, and the weight is literally peeling off him now.
Awesome.
I didn't want to do that initially, Jake, but, you know, we do everything here pretty much dead stop, squatting overhead. If you're going to do any floor pressing, you know, I don't call it a bench press anymore. It's floor pressing out of the rack. Obviously, we know deadlifts, you can do anything you want with them. It worked, and I didn't want to incorporate it till March, but he was just... He seemed to me like even when he was doing stuff, he was fading still. And I had to be careful with him because metabolically, he was bad, man. I mean, to the point where sometimes I had to back him off so much because I was just afraid that this guy is going to drop dead on me, man. Now you can see the endurance coming up, more of an eager attitude, more of a fighting attitude. That's why I tell people, nothing's impossible, all right? But you have to get somebody that understands what you're doing. And I'll tell you this, and I'll go right to you. I say this all the time. I don't know if people grasp it or they're like, eh. Because, you know, you've just found that out, giving somebody a full program, work it 2 years, wait to see what your overhead is. What I find is you can take strongman, no matter what it is, and you can take it and bring it down to any level. And if that means you don't have a stone or you don't have a natural stone, why not make a sandbag?
You know,
all these things that we do, this is why I love strongman the most. And people argue with me left and right. I'm saying, tell me other, you know, barbells. Yes, obviously I can set it with an empty Olympic bar or a standard bar. But really, tell me what you can do that you can take any size weight, stone, whatever it is, and bring it down. My little 6-year-old nephew is using, he's walking with an 8-pound and a 12-pound sandbag, my friend.
That's awesome.
And now I'm getting stuff from people. John Patrick, who's a good friend of the show, said, Eric, I wanted to see. He sends me the video Sunday out on Facebook. These are my 2 5-year-old daughters. I'm telling you, man, they're picking stones up and walking distance. I'm like going out of my mind. And then Kelly Johnson, who's been on the show and's done a lot of nice work for me with branding, she's got a 3-year-old little girl and a 5-year-old boy, and they're both carrying. So I've got a 3-year-old, 3 5-year-olds, and Danny's no longer the little guy. He's 6. Tell me how great that is, man. You're starting, and I don't have to force Danny to do anything. He'll come to me. He and his sister Maggie, when they come over the house, I got a 15-inch tire. You ought to see him flipping it down the driveway. You'd wet your pants. It's so funny, man. But you know what? The determination in these kids and not having to force them is going to make them winners all the way. Now, do I know if they're going to do this the rest of their life? I don't know. I have no idea because my brother-in-law's side, they're all football players. My brother-in-law, Dan, was a semi-pro football player. They're genetics both sides, if you go by that. You know, any of them, they're all very good in sports and all that. I'd love to see them all successful, but, you know, Danny, it'll be very interesting where he goes down the road. But even if they don't, you're going to build some good people out in the world like that. And that's, to me, that's more important than can he put 300 over his head. You build leaders and they go out and lead. We need that right now, but go ahead. Take it.
Oh God, yeah. touching on the strongman stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason why you see more football teams and just athletes everywhere doing strongman movements.
Yep.
Like you see them carrying sandbags. By the way, if you want to buy a sandbag, Cerberus Strength. He's a great guy.
Not to interrupt you, Kenny's on here every month.
Oh, I know. I listen to all of his. Don't worry.
And we're doing a brand new product called Etched in Stone. And wait till you see this thing, man. And it's going after a certain segment of the male population. We already have three women involved with the next step. And wait till you see what's going to possibly coming out this summer with the kids. And it'll blow your mind, man. Kenny is the official supplier of the sandbags and obviously the inserts inside for this new program. In fact, we have Cerberus up on that page right now that will launch next week. So, yeah, Kenny is a hell of a guy, and anybody I've sent to him in the past, they're like, I can't believe it. The stuff's here in 3 days.
Yeah,
I was like, look, this guy doesn't screw around, and, you know, to me now more than ever, that is very important because I'm not going to name names, but I've had people call here that I have nothing to do with it, that they order stuff and they don't get any reply on it. That's not a good thing. That's a bad business move. So go ahead, take it.
I was going to touch on what Ken's doing with Cerberus, though, on top of it.
Yep.
You notice the team he's built right now is incredible.
Yep.
Like he's got at the Arnold this past weekend, holy moly. I'm not going to even try to list everything that everyone won.
Yeah.
But just a lot of – he's built a group of really, 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 you know, of champions, really.
Yeah.
And his equipment, bar none, is my favorite.
Yeah.
By far. And, I'm saying that, you know, because I love the equipment, not because I'm just sponsored by them.
Absolutely.
Like I was using it prior to being sponsored.
Yep.
I was just a dude lifting weights, using it and telling him, hey, man, giving him some feedback, like, hey, man. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yep.
One day he's like, "Hey man, you're the perfect guy for this." I was like, "All right, sounds good to me."
No, he's a nice guy. I've dealt with him for over a year now. You know, he's a guy that when he tells you he's going to come on the show, he's there. And you know, I hadn't been doing a lot of shows the first couple months, and you know, he contacted me and said, "What's going on?" How, you know, and I was like, "It's just business." But I had him on I think it was the end of last month, and we'll get him on here again monthly. But, you know, it's you get stuff, well, I really miss doing the show. I said, I do too. But, you know, we've got to do some business right now, and eventually everybody will come on. But what we're doing here is we're building a network of people that, eventually, there's not going to be anywhere else you're going to have to go. I mean, not only are you going to hear the top notch, and at that point, I would like this to be a national radio show with call-in, with live stuff, too. And, you know, these guys are just eating it alive because it's like not only do you get to come on and you get to deal with somebody that really does this stuff and loves doing it and has got some big-ass goals down the road here, but, you know, I give everybody in the beginning and the end, it's a way to get your product out, too. And, you know, one hand washes the other. It's not all about me. I say it all the time. You know, if I don't have folks like you on, what am I? Yeah, I can do shows by myself that do well. But the thing is, I want to help people. That's why I got into this. You know, we offer solutions. We're not out beating anybody over the head. We'll tell you what's on our mind. But you're never going to walk away from a Motivation Muscle podcast without Jake or Eric or somebody on here saying, okay, this is what happened, and this is what we did. Take it. And if you need help, you can always contact us, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see a lot of stuff out there like that. And one of the reasons I did this show, besides losing my big job and all that and not wanting to go back into the IT end, is this. I got so sick of hearing everything's bad in the world. I even heard this on these other podcast shows. What the hell? You can't even drive home for 20 minutes and hear something positive? And I said, I am not going to become that. And I don't care how many commercials they run with products and you're getting a percentage. Yeah, money is paramount here right now. But I am not selling the show down the road for any of that crap. And we're going to stay on focus here. And I guarantee in the end, it will be well worth it. But this is why I unless you got anything more to say about Kenny, this is what I want to ask you, too. You're an excellent front squatter, and Ken and I have talked about this. How much do you feel a front squat helps you not only with a stone pole, but obviously overhead? And tell some of the reasons why you do it, Jake.
Front squat is like the staple of stability for me.
Yep.
Like if you don't have a stable base, you're not going to press anything over your head. And stones, a strong upper back,
yeah,
you're not going to be loading any stones.
Nope.
And front squat hits pretty much everything that you want for those two movements.
Yep.
You know, if I can't – and actually Z said this the other day.
Okay.
This is Drunas.
Yep, yep.
He says something, you listen.
Yep.
He said if you can't hold a log, you know, stable at the top, you're sure as hell you're not going to press it. And that's where the front squat came in. My front squat grew just like my press did. That
yep.
was the one lift when I was training over at press 3-4 times a week, I still kept front squatting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't deadlift as much because my chain was burned out from all the log cleans and whatnot.
Yep.
But I kept that front squat in there because I knew that the more weight I got in that front loaded position, the easier everything would start feeling for overhead.
Yep.
And stone loads, man, the hip drive and everything, just, you know, I throw stones up.
Yeah.
My hardest part is lapping the stone. If I could lap a heavier stone, I'll load the thing. Once
okay.
I get on my lap, it's over.
Yep.
I just throw it up there.
Yep.
The front squat's built that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know what it is? To me, the front squat is like the dip, the pullover. A lot of these great lifts, you know, I started doing a lot of Jefferson lifting recently. They're forgotten lifts. I mean, unless you go to, like, the gym you're at or a few of those in the world, you're not going to see stuff like that anymore because a lot of it is too damn hard and a lot
oh, yeah.
of people don't feel they're going to get any functionality out of it. You know, you can't beat lifts like that, whether you do them for a short duration or you take one, do it like you do it, unplug it, put something in maybe just for a change of mode there. But basically, you know, the basics still work and they're always going to work. And that's just the way it is. Here's another question. I love these. Why has overhead – look, I know it hasn't disappeared, and I know everybody's interested in the flat bench, and I've got my theory on it. Why do you think you see so few people going overhead these days?
I think it just comes down to, you know, specific sports.
Okay.
I mean, I think powerlifting still has more people competing in it, so you're going to see more – of the benching because it does have, you know, you're
yeah.
doing bench, you want to do bench because that's what you're competing in.
Yep.
But overhead, it's definitely grown from CrossFit actually too, which is great. But
yeah.
I just think that bench is more accessible to a lot of people.
I do too.
And overhead, I think overhead's become the new like scary thing. Like, you know, you walk in the gym and it used to be like, oh, I'm, you know, that guy's squatting low, that's scary. You know, you walk in the gym, you see a dude throwing 350, 400 over his head. It's that might be a little more intimidating than seeing someone squat 405, you know?
I agree.
You know, it's a lot easier to lay down on a bench, you know,
yeah.
and pump some out than to clean something first off and then put it over your head. So it's just an athletic movement, very, very athletic movement.
Not only that, I feel, too, you should really do as much of your training on your feet. And if you want to go into these big sports, whether it's overhead or picking up stones or, you know, big front squats, you know, even back squats, you know, you want to get into good mornings, any of this stuff that's kind of primitive to a lot of people, you do things standing up. And you learn how to drive through your feet. If you got to give it a kick and put it up overhead, so be it. I've got no problem with that stuff because what I think about a lot of that stuff is just so ballistic on you. And you definitely have to get a different mental trigger to do things like that. Once again, the more you teach yourself mentally to deal with things, the struggle, as we said when I read that before in Stones, this is going to make you one hell of a lifter. And that's going to be the difference. And you know from competition, you know the guys that got their head screwed on straight. There's a lot of guys that are all right in the gym, but you put them in a situation where there's a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety, because I don't care what anybody says. We all go through that. You know, when you're walking up to a 418-pound Husafell stone, don't tell me your throat's not in your gut, man, because you're ready. You know you're ready to go. You've trained your ass. You bled in the yard, and now it's time to perform. And you can, you know, it's very easy to read people's eyes when things like that, when you're in that type, in the midst of things like that. You can tell the ones that got their stuff, and then you can tell the other ones are going to either be intimidated by whatever they're doing, or they're going to fail miserably. This kind of stuff, there's no guarantee you're going to lift it every time, but you're going to have a hell of a lot more ability to do it, because as I always say, you know, when we've walked and people been around with stones and they're cheering, I don't hear them, number one, and visually, if I see them in my vision, they're a blur. If you're worrying about, you know, accolades from people and, you know, smiling at the crowd, you're going to get your head handed to you. And there's no doubt about it. So that's what I love about all that stuff. Next question. I know we're getting near time, and this is good, good, good. Tell anybody out there, you know, you can get into it as deep as you want, Jake. For anybody, when we put this show up and they're interested in pressing, or maybe they've never done it or whatever, what are some of the movements you would use, obviously, the strength in the body to get ready to put overhead? And what would you start with initially to get them going overhead? So whether it's a log, most people probably don't have access, but obviously dumbbells, et cetera, et cetera. So take it away.
Are we talking like a very, very newbie lifter, or someone who's been lifting for a little bit and they're just kind of trying to dab?
Yeah, let's talk about somebody maybe that's been in for a year, year and a half.
Okay. Yeah, it's a completely different route there. I mean, if they don't have access to a log, obviously, you know, an axle possibly, or just a bar, but my favorite staple, like, accessory, I guess, that everyone can do, and this is like the stability builder, one arm strict press with a dumbbell.
Yep.
One arm at a time, put your other arm out, and hold each rep. All the way up and all the way back. I'm doing it right now. I don't know why. But all the way up and all the way back down and hold it for like a second or two between each rep.
Yep.
Don't bend or anything like that. And just blast like sets of eight on each arm.
Yep.
That right there is like – and I've seen so many people, you know, I'll go and I've been doing them for years and years now. And I'll blast out sets of eight with like 110, 115.
That's brutal.
And people are like, what the heck? You know, how'd you get to do that? And I'll have them do it and they can do like 20s or whatever because they've never done it before.
Sure.
And the next day, like, my arm's not sore, but my sides are.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it hits your obliques and it hits everything. That's what circus dumbbell does.
Yep.
But I would tell them to do that, and I'd have them doing strict presses, standing strict presses, stripped as you can be.
With a clean off the ground or out of a rack?
And that one's going to be up to their discretion.
Okay,
If they can clean without looking like, almost hurting themselves, then do it with a clean.
Yep.
But if your clean needs work, that's where I'd rather you do it out of the rack and then maybe work your clean later with really light weight and get the mechanics down of that. Because, you know, if you're going up to the bar and you're scared about the clean, you're going to fail the press.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to be your clean sets up your press. But,
yep.
You know, but if you have access to a log, I'm going to say that you should definitely do some EMOM work when you get the chance. That's one of my favorites because the big thing about log, and a lot of people, like, they see me do it and they're like, man, you're so stable. It's your breathing.
Yeah.
And it's learning how to be out of breath and keep that stable, tight base while out of breath.
Yep.
So you do your EMOMs, and you don't have to use crazy weight because 210 will shut you down. Or any, you know, I'm talking like, for me, 210 will shut me down if I do an EMOM long enough because it gets to the point where my elbows start dropping. I start getting looser because I can't breathe.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And you get that mental – it's mental training too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you start learning – you see God real quick when you have a log in your chest and you're looking up at the ceiling and everything's getting blurry.
So. Yeah, I know that feeling, man. It's like we always talk about – I remember I was telling people one day, and you've probably had it. I remember one day we were doing partials so heavy in the power rack, and it was hot as hell. It was like humid. And I swear to God, I walked out of my body and watched myself. I was so – it was like I was deranged totally. Maybe I did too. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you know what I think too, Jake? You know, you hit upon that that mental part. You know, I know there's tons of stuff out there book-wise, and we've had people on here, and it's all good stuff. But I say this every time. Learn to train by yourself and see how you'll get mentally. And I know not everybody can do that. I know we're all set up different, but I'm telling you right now, if you got the stones and you should have them, go do that for a while. Get away, get out of the comfort zone. Get away from the cheering section. Load your own damn bar or log and start taking the world on its own. And I guarantee you, as Jake talked about, took years to develop this. You take those years to develop that press and those years to develop yourself mentally. You know, I always like equating Rocky, you know, it's like Rocky III when he fought Clubber Lang the second time. You know, how they set it up, obviously his eyes looked like glass, man. There was no movement at all. And, you know, everybody will say, well, you're dialed right in. That's what you need to do with everything you do with weightlifting. All right, so dumbbells, obviously, barbells. What else? I mean, obviously front squats, bent rows, anything like what else do we want to hit?
I mean, rows are obviously going to, you know, help your cleans and stuff with log.
Yep.
There's so many variations. I mean, with strongman, everything is basically going to hit that chain, that posterior chain. So it's really hard to say, like, hey, do these accessories. It's going to work for this.
Yep.
My best advice would just to go do strongman stuff, and it's all going to build on it on itself. You know, go pick up Ustafel. Go pick up stones.
Yep.
Use some heavy farmers.
Yep.
I hate farmers, but I still do them because I know that the
benefits
of heavy farmers.
Yeah.
That's my mental toughness right there, is that event.
You know what I like to do, man, which is a forgotten movement, and you got to be very careful with it because I think the lats obviously are so important with all that stuff. I have two things. I can do it straight arm or I can do it off a bench. That specifically, I love doing pullovers, man. I'm talking breathing pullovers. You know what I find with people, they try to go as heavy as they can with a pullover. You're defeating the purpose. You want to develop the rib cage, you know, when you're talking breathing. And then, obviously, I want to have lats where it looks like I could fly in a good wind, literally. And this, once again, is something forgotten. You know, I love screwing around with dips, too, at times. I don't, knock on wood, I had a little stuff with a shoulder last year. It screwed me up, you know, getting my arm back comfortably doing a dead stop back squat. But it didn't bother me with the dips, and we don't do little bars. We dip on 4x4s, wood.
Oh, man.
Okay? So you want to talk about, you know, putting it to the test. So, you know, there's all these little tricks of the trade, and a lot of people don't, you know, I hear from people, well, why do you tell a lot of things you do? I say, well, why not? I mean, I didn't invent the shit. Maybe some of the stuff I did a little bit, but this is the problem, man. It's like, don't you want to see people do well? Well, it's like, I don't want to get beat. Well, you got beat by yourself already, fool. You already talked yourself out of it, and you're already wounded. So bleed out the rest of the way then, my friend. You know, it's like, I don't want people like that around me at all anymore, Jake. Not that I associate a lot with it. I'm very you can't be careful with everything you say, but you can be a good listener and know, is this guy or girl going to be bad around me, or are we going to accentuate one another? And you got to be very careful who you associate with, especially with this stuff, because not everybody has got your best interests at heart. And I think that's even more important. It falls back to your character, everything else. So if you got poor character, poor work ethic, and you're jealous of everybody, you're not going anywhere in life or in weightlifting. One more question, and we'll, you know, if you like it here, we'll get you back. Believe me.
All right.
What would you tell everybody at this point? Because I'd love to get you back, obviously, and I'd love to get into even more stuff with the press. And obviously, we'll start talking some serious subject matter. Well, this was pretty serious, but other subject matter that we like to talk about. But tell everybody here, I mean, basically summarize everything. I'll summarize my stuff and just hang on the line. You know, we've gone over a lot of stuff. We've gone over a little bit of history about you. What do you feel, you know, right now we can get our family here to take away from? Like, what would you tell everybody? Just something very basic, whether it's pressing, whether it's mentally, whether it's just kind of thinking ahead even a year. What would you tell everybody right now? I don't mean to put you on the spot either, lay the tattoo on somebody right now.
What I would say is that if you're in anything in life, really, be consistent.
Yep.
Hold yourself accountable, obviously.
Yep. Yep.
But nothing great comes fast. Everyone's out there for that instant gratification these days.
Yeah.
And that's what I touched on with the press.
Yep.
It takes years and years to build something great. Just have patience and stick with it.
Absolutely.
And be consistent.
Yeah. You know something? And that could be a whole show right there because I'm telling you right now, you know, and I'll make this quick and then I'll give everything out on my end. I was told by a gentleman who's on this show, and he hasn't been on in a while. He contacted me one day, and you know, I was like, it was like I had boulders on my head that day. There was so much going on, and he said, "I love your shows." He goes, "That's all I listen to," you know. And I was like, "Well, great," you know. I mean, you're part of the show, but listen to whatever you want and come back and see what it sounds like. And he said, "The only thing is, I think sometimes you talk a little bit too much about distancing yourself from people that are very critical of what you're doing, or they don't agree with the business model, or, you know, they're very negative and blah, 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 like that." And I said to him, "I totally disagree with you." I said, "I know what I get, either email, texting, or phone calls, and people are, I'm not ragging on anybody by name." I said, "I've never got a complaint about any of that, all right?" And I said, "You're free to go do whatever you want. You don't have to come on here. You don't have to listen to the show. But I appreciate it, and I've got no problem with what you said. I mean, I got thick shoulders."
Yeah.
So he sends me back a note and says, "Well, I guess that means I'll never be on." I said, "You didn't listen to me, all right? But I'm telling you what I hear from people. You're the only person that ever said it. I believe I've had this with family, Jake, about the whole business. How could you give up an $80,000 job to go do that? There's no guarantees." Well, is there any guarantee I'm going to get up out of bed tomorrow morning?
Exactly.
I don't need to hear the crap, right? And I am not going to have people in my life that don't want to be part of my life. You can criticize me. Believe me, I'm not saying I'm adverse to that. Whether I reply to you or I just say, you know what, this is just somebody that either doesn't understand it or doesn't want to be part of it. That's up to me. That's my choice. But I'll be damned if I'm going to, and I get from people all the time, "I'm glad you say that, because sometimes we need to be reminded of that." So, you know, this is kind of like how things are. And then, you know, and then they get offensive and stuff like that. I don't play that game with people. It's not going to, you know, you don't agree with me. I've had people on the show where they don't agree with what I'm saying, and I might not agree with what they're saying, but they're back on and we have a good time. That's how life is, man. And if you can't roll with that, then you're not going to do very well out there, you know, with everything. But that's how I see things. We got a hell of a thing here, and we're just going to keep chugging. You got anything else, my friend?
Nothing much. If you listen to this, I'm an open book. If you want to message me on Facebook or wherever and have questions about pressing, and you want, you know, my honest opinion on what you should do or whatnot, like, you know, I'm an open book.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll give you this offer if you'd like. It's up to you. If you ever want to put together an article with some video, I'd be more than happy to put it up on our blog, and we get a lot of looks there. So if you'd like to, I extend that invitation to you at any time. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and our free ebook. Basically, it's a 30-day program with conventional lifting combined with rack work. In the middle of the week, we do sandbags, and I give you one of the routines that I use to get ready to start stone lifting. Also, to go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Look at our vault, and now Jake has joined us, and I hope he'll stick around with us for the next 28 years, too, because there's just so much to give out there, and you know, we love doing this stuff. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and you know, just keep it up. Also, AHA, that's the big directory for podcasting in your car. All the new cars have the ability through the radio, and they do make aftermarket cars for podcasting, radios for your cars, so you get M&M 24/7 in your car, and that's the only way to fly. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jake and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com, and I'll leave you with multiple things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. You'd be surprised. 5 words can change somebody's life forever. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get. Number 3, obviously, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The Hoosa Steel Crusher says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that till the day we sign off. And as I say here, we don't call ourselves alpha male here. We call ourselves a testosterone balloon. That's how big we are, and we've got the stuff. Frank Klein, greatest marketing professor ever. I had him through college for all my business classes. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, and he was like a father figure. My dad died long before I met John, and we lost John almost 3 years ago. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your worst or best day and not smile. John would be very happy with me carrying on his legacy. And besides those three gentlemen and my brother Jimmy, they're on my mind constantly every day. I got to tell you that. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join the revolution. Join our family. I guarantee you the best 28 years are coming up in your life. As the great Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. I guarantee you we are behind you and we believe in you. And I don't know many people in today's world that would go that far, but we're not like everybody else. Jake, it's been an honor to have you on. I hope you enjoyed the show. I would love to have you back here. And like I said, thank you for being on, sir.
Loved it.
All right.
Thank you. Let me know when you want.
You got it. It'd be my pleasure. So for Jake Reynolds, Eric Fiorello here, we will get Jake on very soon. As I always say all the time, go out and do something magnificent. The world wants you to excel. Be that way. Have fun, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. What do you think?
Oh, it's fun, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You sounded good, too, man. I mean, you're clear as hell, right on the money. You seem very easy. Those are all things that are great, man. You know,
I'm a talker, man.
Like, I'm glad. Good.
People get almost annoyed with me, but I'm like, man, like, I like hashing it out with people when I get the, like, if they ask me a question, I'm going to give them.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.